News Talk 1620 WTAW, now at 16, almost a quarter till 6 in the evening. William Bowes, Brian Farr Marshall, I've been getting caught up. We haven't seen each other, I think, in about a month, and you all have been very busy with a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, it seems like we haven't made it over here. Well, we did make it over here. You and I were both gone 2 weeks ago. But it's been a busy time. We're doing a lot of, there's a lot of changes, a lot of changes in codes. There's a lot of changes in things that we're discovering and working on to improve the city. And we're working conjunctively with some of the other departments to get some things improved.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go first, because mobile homes, trailers are a very inexpensive form of housing. That's all some people can afford, but there are rules regarding safety of those structures, and I understand you've been busy dealing with some safety issues in that area.
That's right. You were gone the same day, but I had to call in trying to tell you I couldn't make it because I was working with a chief building official. We were removing a couple of individuals from an unsafe dwelling that we were condemning. We're finding a lot of mobile homes that are condemnable, a lot of think places have not been kept up, and unfortunately we're also seeing a trend to where some folks are purchasing those very inexpensively sold homes without checking with the inspections department to make sure that they can even get a permit or possibly get power onto those homes because of their condition. BTU won't put power to those homes without a fire inspection, and we won't give them a clean inspection if they can't be permitted and if they're not in good enough shape. So sometimes people are buying them without checking, without running the right kind of checks and going and seeing the right departments, and then they end up paying for something and they can't use it, and it's unfortunate.
Or are you also finding cases where they're going to inhabit those dwellings and not have any city services?
Well, sometimes we do find that, and unfortunately they're staying in those substandard situations without water and electricity and sewer and such as that, and it gets very bad.
And I started off this piece of conversation about mobile homes, but I'm sure you've seen them in stick-built structures as well.
We have seen them in some stick-built, and we've seen them in, we've discovered folks living in stick-built homes, sheds in backyards. And we oftentimes, at that point, when we find one that couldn't have electricity, we'll find illegal extension cords running to a neighbor's house or something like that, sometimes with the neighbor's permission, which is still illegal, or sometimes they're stealing it from a neighbor who doesn't realize it.
Something else you were telling me about, some recent calls involving fires with overloaded outlet plates.
Right. In the region section, 2 days ago, one of my investigators was called out to a home fire, and he determined that, again, somebody had run extension cords up behind some furniture, and it was pressed down and pressed on by the furniture. This was a bed, and extension cords are built to be out in open air, have room around them. They're not built to be compressed. You do these things to an extension cord, and you render it unsafe, and you cause it to become a fire hazard. We've actually burned several houses over this last year that were cords that eventually overheated and caught fire.
Does it matter on the thickness or the load that an extension cord can carry as to how many plugs you can or how many devices you can plug into a cord or into an outlet?
Well, most of those extension cords are smaller in nature of the wire size than your home wiring, so they're never really meant to carry a large amount of them as far as adapters, and you should never really put one adapter into another adapter. They were never really meant to be connected together, daisy-chained as we like to call it. And the problem is you can put a lot of devices that don't pull a lot of power, and you can actually overload the circuit, and it may not trip the breaker. The breaker takes a certain amount of pull, and if you don't have a large device on there, you may continue that circuit in an overloaded situation until that circuit some time or another will fail, and you won't know when, but that's when you'll get a fire.
easier said than done, I know, especially in older homes. But one appliance, one device per plug, and no extension cords is the best policy.
Absolutely. The as few possible extension cords and as few possible multiple outlets as you can have. And anytime you have to start putting multiple outlets in, you need to be thinking about having an electrician canvas your circuits and see if it isn't time for a new circuit in an area or have a new plug added for that device that you're wanting to power up.
And I'm sure, again, this applies more so to older homes, those in, I would say, within, what, maybe the last 5 or 10 years that have matched the new technologies that have come in. Would the newer homes be better able to take care of those things?
Well, you will find that. We find that both in residential and commercial, that the older buildings were built at a time when we didn't use as much electricity. That being said, you will find some very inexpensive homes that have the bare minimum built into them that's allowed. And if you happen to be one of those people that uses a lot of devices, you may still overload it. So you always need to be looking at how much you're using and go ahead and take the preemptive steps of making sure that you have enough of the safe outlets to use to protect your investment.
All right, got another minute or so left, and the weather's finally straightening out and means a barbecuing season.
Right, and our newest code change, when they adopted the newest code this last fall, calls for no barbecue pits on or under balconies of apartments, which is fourplexes and up. So it's become more restrictive. That was based on research. There was still too many people creating fires by using them in that location, and it's just too unsafe. So we don't allow any barbecue pits at all on the balconies or under the balconies of are under porches at the apartments, at the multi-dwellings, fourplexes and up.
Is that something that that you all cite the owner or manager of the unit, or will you go directly to the occupant?
That will depend on whether or not the management is participating with us in getting the word out. We have had very good response, mostly, from our management in getting the word out to their tenants and trying to, as much as they can, try to gain voluntary compliance of their tenants. And if we have one where they've made the correct response and the correct urgings, then we can go straight to the tenant who's refusing. If we have a management that is refusing to inform and push for this and so on, then we can also cite them.
All right. As always, I want to leave listeners, if they have a particular question or topic that they want to visit with you about, how do they go about finding you?
Absolutely. They can call the Fire Marshal's office at 209-5960. They can email me at wbouse@bryantx.gov, and we'll get back in touch with them.
Terrific. Appreciate the visit, as always.
Thank you. William, it's good to see you back.
You betcha. You too. William Bouse, Brian Fire Marshal with us on News Talk 1620 WTAW.